welcome and good morning. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. And I'd say good morning to all, and mighty beautiful day, isn't it?
Amen.
And the Lord's been mighty good to us, and he has sent some needed rain. And we're going to thank him for that today. I spoke with Butch Howard last night, and the community cornfield will be ready Wednesday. So he says if you want corn, he's going to have it. They're going to be picking starting Wednesday till it runs out. Now, if you're not able to pick, he says they'll get it for you. That's not a problem. And if you want some extra corn to put up, let him know. You can call him. You got your pencil ready? If you want to make an appointment, and they'll have it ready for you. I mean, you can't beat that. 560-9675. So opportunity there to get some corn from the community cornfield. This evening at 5, general board or official board meeting and Bible study Thursday the 29th at 10. And our annual business meeting will be next Sunday evening at 5. The nominating committee has all their information ready, and we'll be voting on our proposed vision and mission statements. Do we have any other announcements?
Yes.
All right.
Just as a point of information, the Change for Children bags that were collected in May were $624.66 for the children's home.
Okay.
And I got this information from Diane Riley Gray for the women, not just auxiliary women, but women of the church. There's a retreat called Stepping Up Your Faith, the Emmanuel Retreat for Women, August 4th through 6th. And I have the information here if you're interested in going. Craigmont's a wonderful place, and these women's retreats are very inspirational and lots of fun. So August 4th through 6th, if we, I have this information, and I'll try to post it on the bulletin board in the education field. Thank you.
Anyone else? Any other announcements? Now let us stand together and we'll begin worship by reading our responsive reading together. If God is for us, who is against us?
He who gave us the Son now gives us the Spirit and power.
The Holy One is in our midst. Christ, we are more than conquerors.
For nothing in creation can separate us from the love of God.
May the all-surpassing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And the unshakable love of God be with you.
The joyous communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Let us worship in spirit and in truth.
Father, it's a blessing to be able to be here today as your children and worship you. And we honor and welcome the presence of your Holy Spirit to touch us and deep within our hearts and spirits and minds and strengthen us and equip us to be the person that you've created us to be. We lift you in worship and thank you for all of your blessings. We live such a life of abundance. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to hymn 128, hymn number 128. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
may be seated. It's good to have Gabriel home, and this morning he has our scripture reading.
Howdy.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right, so the scripture, Old Testament, is from Psalms 86, 1 through 10. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds, for you alone are God. The New Testament reading comes from Matthew 10:24-39. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid for those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I do not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. This is the word of God for people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
continue to pray this morning. Are there any needs as we pray together we need to remember?
Pray for our country.
Okay. Yes.
Remember Wesley J. He's still
a 96 person. All right,
Wesley J. Joe, my brother Dempsey lost a toe this week, and now they're saying he might be the whole foot.
Mm.
And he really needs to pray.
All right. Dempsey Hill.
Bobby Grady family.
Bobby Grady family, yes.
Bryce Turner.
Bryce Turner, okay.
Bobby Turner.
Okay. Bobby Turner. Any others?
Bill Carr, Jason McKinnon.
Who Bill?
Bill Carr and Jason McKinnon.
Bill Carr and Jason
Cannon.
Cannon. Any others? All right, let's remember these as we pray this morning and certainly remember the blessings the Lord has given to all of us. Father God, I praise and worship you this morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for all the blessings that you give to us. We live a life of bounty, Lord, because you're such a good God who meets our every need. I thank you for hearing and answering all of our prayers. And as these needs have been, names have been called this morning, I know you have a special plan in place, Lord, and I thank you for that, for the healing and the hope and the health you'll bring and the people you bring to minister to each and every one of these names that were called. We thank you that we can be here today and for the opportunity to live another day, to see your great handiwork, to live among the people you've created, and to be Christ Jesus in this day and age in which we live. Strengthen us and move us by the power of your Spirit as we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand together and let us sing. More love to thee, 634, verses 1 through 3. 634.
us every day. We come here now to give you thanks and return a portion of what you give us, that you may use it for the work of your kingdom. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Doxology, please. Be seated. Our scripture text comes from Acts chapter 4, verse 12 this morning. Passage of scripture you probably read and probably even memorized, but I would like to read it for us this morning. It says, "Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind which we must be saved." If anyone put a dent in the universe, it was the early church. After the death of Jesus, all the disciples scattered, and it looked like this ragtag group was going to just fade into history. But something happened. And within a few weeks, the disciples were back preaching their message with more conviction and more power than ever before. And as a result, in just a few days, 5,000 people had become followers of Jesus Christ. That's amazing, isn't it? What happened? I think two things. First of all, the disciples encountered the resurrected, risen Christ. Jesus was dead, and now he was alive. Number two is they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the very presence of God in their lives, and he gave them new power and new boldness and a new sense of mission. Last week we talked about how Peter had healed a crippled man by speaking just the name of Jesus. And afterwards the man was walking and leaping and praising God. And it amazed a lot of folks there that day, I'm sure. And in today's message, the aftermath of this miracle, this crippled man being healed, continues. Now, the result of this was the religious leaders, they grab Peter and John, and they throw them in jail for the night. And the next day, the two disciples are brought before the council, and they are asked in chapter 4, verse 7, by what power or what name did you do this? Peter answers, in effect, let me make it clear to you. It's by the name of Jesus Christ that this man has been healed. And then Peter quotes a verse in the Old Testament. surely these religious leaders will certainly recognize it. He says that Jesus is, in verse 11, the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. And by quoting this verse, Peter was saying, I want you to understand what we're saying about Jesus. This isn't about him just merely being a good person or a good teacher or a popular rabbi or a great philosopher. What we're telling you about this man, Jesus, is that he is the cornerstone. He is the foundation of everything that we believe. And then Peter said in verse 12, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Our thought today is only one name. Now, Peter is echoing what he had heard Jesus say a few weeks earlier. Jesus in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The Christian life is all about Jesus. He's the way, the only way, to a life of spiritual fulfillment. He is the cornerstone of our existence. And yet, sometimes we're reluctant to talk about him. But he belongs at the front and the center. But sometimes we often try to tuck him away so he doesn't offend anyone. If he were on our softball team, we'd probably put him in right field. And because of that, the world is missing out on hearing the greatest story ever told, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, I want us to think a minute about what our message to the world needs to be, both as a church and as individual believers. The message of the early church was clear and it was bold. And if we're to be honest with ourselves, sometimes our message is vague and uncertain. Sometimes we're not as clear as we need to be about what matters most. And so today I want to talk about the message that we are to be sending out into the world. I want to talk about how we sometimes get it wrong and how we sometimes get it right and how we can take a step to make it happen. First of all, how do we get it wrong? The biggest mistake that the church can make is to make following Jesus about something other than about following Jesus. You get that? And throughout history, the church has made this mistake and been guilty of it. One of the ways we can do this is by making our message political. It's not our job as a church to get anyone elected. It's not our job to get the government to do what we're supposed to be doing as a church. It's our job as a church, to help people make a life-changing connection with Christ and to help them grow in faith until Christ is formed in them. That's not the government's job. That's our job. Now, the political process is important. I'm thankful for our country. I'm thankful for our leaders. We're free today to go and tell people about Christ Jesus. We're free to have a church. We're free to minister to people, do everything in Jesus' name. We're blessed. A lot of countries and a lot of people are not like that. They can't do it. They're persecuted for it. And I'm thankful for the political process. And I encourage you to be involved in the political process as much as you can to take a stand on issues that matter most to you and support the candidate of your choice. This is good. But when it comes to the work of the church, we can't afford to take political sides. Neither our message nor our mission is political. Steve Brown once said, when the church has had the choice between political power and spiritual power, it has chosen political power, and it always gets us in trouble. We really don't need the world to join our political party or vote for our favorite candidate. What we need is for them to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, so that their lives can be transformed by His mercy and His grace. The truth is, there's not a politician or political party that loves you enough to die for you, me either, and save your soul. Only Jesus has the power to keep that promise that He's made to us as people. And we must not surrender our spiritual power for the lesser political power and think that political power is the answer for the church. If we're not careful, we make the message too political. We also can make the message too much about do's and don'ts. How many of you ought to be around somebody that's constantly telling you what you're doing wrong? Anybody? You're not one of those people that's constantly telling somebody they're doing wrong, are you? I mean, after a while, it gets old, don't it? I mean, you don't want to be around them no more, because all they can't see anything good. They always see the bad. They always see, and look, we're sinners. We miss the mark. You know, we don't get it right every time. And sometimes the message can be about do's and don'ts. It's all about behavior. Many times we fall in the trap of just focusing on this sin or that sin or whatever one else is doing right or wrong until the world gets the impression that being a Christian is nothing more than judging people about what they're doing wrong or what they might not be doing right. Does behavior matter? Yes, it matters. Of course it does. Do we need to confront sin? Yes, we do. But the message of the gospel is not you're a sinner. That statement might be true, but that's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is that Jesus lived and died and rose again, and through Him we have new life. Now, you can build on that. You can go forward on that. Through Him, your sins are forgiven. Our mission in ministry is not to get bad people to stop doing bad things. Our goal is to help bad people become good people. When I say bad people, you know what I'm talking about? You're talking about us. Talking about us. And the only way you or me or anyone else in this world can be good is through the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. We know what don't work. Laws don't work, do they? Prisons don't work, do they? We got more laws than we've ever had. Our prisons are full. We're turning people out who are bad people. I mean, those things don't work. There's not but one thing that's going to work. There's not but one name, and it's Jesus Christ. Receiving Him into our life, His life-changing power to change who we are. So we talk about behavior, we talk about sin, we talk about right and wrong, but let's make it clear that Christianity is not about do's and don'ts. It's about a one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. Brings us to the third way we often mess up the message. We make the message too much about church involvement. Now, when I hear someone talk about their spiritual life only in terms of their connection to the church, it sends up a red flag. There's so much more to the Christian life than a couple of hours we spend each week in a building with one another. That's good, but if this is all there is to your spiritual life, that's not enough. Now, folks, church attendance is good. And I mean, it's great to be every time the doors are open, but church attendance don't save us. And church attendance is certainly not going to save the world and fulfill the mission of the church. Only a personal relationship with Jesus Christ can cause us to get involved in the things that matter most to Jesus. In Jesus' day, He told us many stories about religious people who passed by people who needed Jesus most on the way to church. We sometimes mess up the message in this way. and by talking politics and by talking about do's and don'ts and rules and rituals and regulations and religion, when we need to be talking about the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Now, it brings me to the second thing I want to point out today, and it's, we've talked about how sometimes we get it wrong, but let's talk about how we need to get it right. Peter said, salvation is in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. If there is salvation in no other way, through no one else but Jesus, it means we need to be talking about who?
Jesus.
Quickly, let's look at three things, and there may be more that we need to emphasize about Jesus. First of all, Jesus shows us who God really is. He shows us what God is like. And how can he do that? Because he is God himself. He wasn't just a good teacher. He quite literally is God in the flesh. In John 14:9, he said this to his followers. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. He also said in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. And that means he is the splitting image of God. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus, because he's God in the flesh. Jesus is God. Sometimes we have the idea that God the Father is one way and Jesus is like another way, but really they're both one. Our understanding of God is limited many times and inaccurate because we look at it based on the Old Testament laws and religions and rituals and traditions and the experiences of men, and that's just not enough to know what God is really like. So God sent Jesus to come into the world so that we might get a complete picture of who God is. Samuel Dickey Gordon said, God, or Jesus, is God spelling himself out in language that man can understand. There are parts of the Old Testament that may not be easy to understand in terms of the nature of God, but the Gospels make it crystal clear who God is through Jesus Christ. And so our message to the world needs to be, do you want to know what kind of God we serve? If so, let me tell you about Jesus. Let's look at Jesus. Let's look at what he said. Let's look at what he did. Let's look at how he interacted with his community and how he interacted with us sinners. Because he is a perfect example of what God is like. Paul said in Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God. Church, we need to emphasize clearly that in Jesus we can see what God is really like. We need to get it right too and emphasize that Jesus shows us what love really is. I hope your definition of love is not what you see on TV. There's some really strange stuff on there nowadays. Swiss theologian Karl Barth is considered to be one of the greatest minds, one of the greatest theologians of the 20th century. In fact, he made the cover of Time magazine in the 60s. And he was asked during a lecture if he could sum up his theology in one sentence about God and his love. And this is how he responded. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus really is about love. He came into the world, this world, to die on a cross for our sins because he loves each and every one of us. And he wants us to love him in return, and in return to love one another. John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. What was important to Jesus? John 15:17. This is my commandment. Love each other. What's our purpose? To love Jesus and to love one another. Jesus gave us a great vision of what love really is. Our message and our mission to the world needs to be that we take love seriously because our Lord and Savior takes love seriously. The same way that he has shown his love to us, we need to show his love to others. Because Jesus shows us what love really is. If we want to get it right, let's look at Jesus when it comes to love. And the third thing we need to emphasize is Jesus shows us what life can truly be. When Peter said that salvation is found in no other, he's not just talking about going to heaven one day instead of going to hell when you die. He's talking about salvation beginning now. Salvation in this life for all eternity. He's talking about this crippled man who had just been healed by the power of God. And what he's saying is just as this man's broken life can be healed through the power of Jesus Christ, so can your life be touched by this amazing God who can save us. It was Jesus who said in John 10:10, I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. You know what abundance means? It means having everything and more. Huh? You got everything you need, but then you got more than what you need. That's pretty good, isn't it? Abundance. This world might give you a little something, maybe barely just enough to get by at times, but that's about it. But in Jesus, his desire is that we live in abundance, especially when it comes to our joy. He said, these things I've spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Jesus came so that we might experience life as it should be experienced. Not a life destroyed by sin, but a life redeemed and made right by his mercy and his grace and his power. So our message to the world needs to be Jesus and no other can make your life truly whole. It can make it what it truly needs to be. Nothing else can do that. There are a lot of empty promises out there, but only Jesus can come through on that promise. The gospel is not politics. The gospel is not religion. The gospel is not do this, do that, don't do this. The gospel is that Jesus lived, died, and rose again, and through him we can experience new life, abundant life through him. So in conclusion, how do we get there? How do we get there? Our message to the world needs to be about Jesus. That he can make a difference, not just in my life, but in your life. And the truth is, you cannot make a mark on this world until God has made his mark on you. This church cannot make a mark in this community until God has made his mark on this church. And that means that we need to be about Jesus more than anything else. We need to be about Jesus. Now, today I want to give you one practical move in that direction. Find the most easiest to read, the most user-friendly translation of the Bible that you can find. And there's hundreds of them out there. Go online, pick you one out. When you read it, you know what it says. You understand it. Pick one of the Gospels. There's four of them. All right, four to choose from. Pick you one and read it from start to finish. Now, don't get bogged down trying to do some deep, detailed study. Don't be all on Google looking this up and that up. I want you to just read through it. Read the stories. Just read it for what it is. And see what they tell you about Jesus. See what they tell you about God, the gospel. Take less than 3 hours if you do it start to finish. But my prayer is that this simple reading of just one of the gospels will kindle or rekindle a desire to know Jesus personally and to make your Christian life all about him. Our message to the world needs to be, both as a church and as individuals about Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven that's been given to men by which we must be saved. So, church, let's make it our message, and our message to be all about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your word and the truth of it. And we're thankful the gospel message about Jesus Christ is so simple. These first followers of Jesus just traveled around telling the people about you, and your amazing work was done as they shared the greatest story ever told. Give us that desire, and just bless us with words as we speak and live our lives about Christ Jesus. In the name we pray. Amen. Stand together. Let's sing 571, hymn number 571, Trust and Obey, verses 1 through 5. Huh? Yeah, 1 and 5. 1 and 5. Stand as we sing, Trust and Obey. Once again, remember the announcements for this week, and we were not able to be at the parade last day. We had a wedding, but I heard it went off with a blast. Yeah. Yes. Joel,
I... Great job, y'all. Wonderful day. It's a lot of fun.
Troy, what you and Livy got back there? You been to Walmart or what?
Got a little Miller.
Ah.
Okay,
good to have you with us this morning. All right. Anybody else have anything to say before we leave? Okay, let's pray together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Temptation, deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the glory, forever. Amen.